Hey friends, welcome back to another episode of Mothering Together with ADHD. It's me, Kayla, and today we are talking all about coming back to your rhythm, finding your old routines after you've let them go, after you've fallen off that bandwagon. What do you do to get back into the rhythm and to get back to being consistent? Well, today we're going to chat about it. Hi guys, welcome to Mothering Together with ADHD, the podcast for stay-at-home moms with ADHD that helps you to schedule your life. Not just the events and the have-tos, but also the want-tos and the things that really make you feel like yourself, even in this season of giving, giving, giving. I'm your host, Kayla. I'm an ADHD stay-at-home mom myself who struggles day in and day out, but I have found certain things help to make this journey so much more enjoyable, and I am here to share those things with you today. Grab your iced coffee and let's dive in. My first job out of grad school was working with autistic students, and they were fantastic. I adored my students, and I learned a lot. And one of the things that I learned from talking to them and meeting them and learning about them was that, well, first of all, I related quite a bit to that experience. And I wasn't diagnosed at that time with ADHD, so I didn't realize I was also neurodiverse. But I so related, and I could always understand like certain things, like rigidity, for example. I'm pretty rigid as a person. I like to have a schedule, and I get totally thrown off in a way that is like above and beyond what other people feel when my schedule is off or when things shift or when things change last minute. I get bewildered, like emotionally flooded. So I totally related to my students about that, and that was very eye-opening to me. And so today's episode is actually about how you get back into that rhythm, but it's coming at you with a little bit of grit and a lot of grace. So we're going to start off with the grace part, and then we're going to give you a little bit of an idea of how to become a little bit more gritty. And yeah, that's what we're going to do. So I want you to think about some of the problems you've had recently. Like maybe you had a change in your schedule. Like we've had a change in season. Suddenly there's a ton of pollen in the air and everyone is coughing in my family. We've had a school vacation. It's coming up to be summer and the end of school is coming, and that's going to be a transition. People have been sick. We've had people needing like new services or new scheduling needs. So all of those things can kind of add a little bit of extra challenge or extra, not to be negative, I think they just add a little bit more dimension to your schedule, right? And so that can kind of throw you off. So let's chat about, once something like that happens, what do you do? How do you get back to your rhythm, back to your routine, which is comforting and also is necessary. We have a routine that meets a lot of the needs in our households, right? Like our kids have their own individual needs probably, and we have certainly our own needs as people with ADHD. So how do we do that? How do we return to that rhythm to kind of bring our family back to equilibrium after there's been sort of an upset, a little bit of a ripple effect from something that happened? So as I mentioned, I'm starting with just so much grace for us because we do have ADHD. And so we do have some certain tendencies, probably like a tendency to be rigid in our thinking, which is really more like being a concrete black and white, all or nothing thinker. But also we sometimes lack flexibility to go beyond and think creatively. And I always notice this in other people, and I'm sure it happens to me, and that's why I can just empathize with it. Sometimes it's extra hard, like you're so overwhelmed by a topic or by life that it's hard to think creatively. So you, like, you know, lots of groups come to this point where it's like everybody is just like high tension and we're not gelling very well, and so the group can't speak to each other in a way that is going to come up with anything new and amazing. Whereas, you know, when you are gelling with a group and everyone's feeling really good and the ideas are flowing, that's a different, very energetic state, right? So if you are in a state where you're kind of upset or kind of having a hard time, you might not be in a space to think creatively. And that makes sense. We also have a tendency, because we have this tendency with our default mode network, to really think in a negative perspective. So it can happen that we get kind of stuck in this like negative downward spiral. And then we have emotional dysregulation on top of that. And then, of course, we've come off of having a routine and it's extra hard for us to start anything. Like, task initiation can be challenging for us, or, you know, maintaining effort can be hard. Regulating our effort, regulating our attention, making ourselves do the hard thing. And this was really eye-opening for me when I became medicated, because prior to that, I didn't really understand the difference between my experience and everyone else's. And so when I became medicated and I was able to just like stop what I was doing midway and like go check on the laundry, even though I was doing something way more fun, I was kind of annoyed. I was like, are you kidding me? People can just stop what they're doing, go do something boring, and then return to what they were doing. This is annoying that I had spent so much of my life not treating that. That was my little med plug. Talk to your doctor if you haven't yet tried medication. So, in summary, there's a lot that stands in our way when it comes to getting back on track after things have fallen apart. And it's more than other people, which stinks. I hate that. Ugh. So, I get it. It's hard. I'm in the middle of it. Like, last week I was super honest about what's going on with me and why I'm in survival mode. I'm currently in the middle of getting back on track, and that takes a little bit of grit. So grit is a term, there's actually a book, I think it's Angela Duckworth, I hope I'm saying the right thing, and it's this skill of stick-with-itism, which is not a word, but it's like sticking with what you've been doing and not changing. And it's something I don't have, and it's something I'm working on. So it's like maintaining a job for 10 years. It's like maintaining a goal for an extended period of time and returning to it. And grit is challenging and it takes work. So we are going to return to our old routine, even though we've been through this, whatever, right? Even though we've fallen off the bandwagon, we're going to return to our old routine. And when we do that, the result of that is that we actually have built our ability to get back into a routine for the next time we fall off the bandwagon. Because we will fall out of our routine again. But if we've had practice just getting back to it, then we're gonna build that grit and build that ability for the next time, because there will be a next time and a time after that, and we will be more prepared, because today we're getting right back on track. We're just hopping back on. We're taking the shame out of it. It's not shameful. It just happens. It's totally natural for you to fall off of your routine, and the step that we have to take to get back onto it is the step that's gonna help us build our grit for continued growth. So what you need, though, you can't just hop back on the bandwagon, because all the things I mentioned, right? Task initiation is hard. And so this is really a task initiation strategy that I'm going to give to you, but I think it's really helpful in this one instance. So it's just very simple. So think about what you have to do to get back into your routine. And we're going to have a couple of examples, but just think about yourself. Like, I've fallen off of my routine, I haven't been doing something. What is that something that you haven't been doing? Okay. And now think about on a scale of difficulty where one is not difficult at all and 10 is extremely challenging, like you could barely do it. Where does that thing fall for you right now? Okay. And if it falls above a 5, then we have to change it. So whatever the thing is that you are thinking, I have to do this thing to get back into my routine. If it's above a 5 for you on the difficulty scale, then you have to change it. And you just have to simplify it. So maybe doing the same thing or something similar, or getting your body into that location at a certain time, whatever that is, do that step first. Do whatever gets it down to like a 3 or less. That's really what you want to do. So you change it so much so that it's easy or relatively easy. And then you're able to do that step. And then you do it again the next time you have to, and again and again. And eventually you will build back into where you were and hopefully beyond. And then the next time you fall off the bandwagon or whatever, I keep saying that, next time you get out of your routine, you'll find that you're able to get back into it with not as much thought, because you've already done this thought of, okay, if I stop doing it, then I'll be able to get back into it by doing XYZ. So that was very vague. So let's give you a couple examples. I have been super hyper-focusing on reading aloud to my family. So that's the example you're going to get. I love sharing my hyper-focuses with you guys. So my hyper-focus is right now about just reading aloud, which isn't unusual, but it becomes unusual as your kids get older. So, and I'm a language nerd, so I think it's really important to be reading with your kids. And there's lots of reasons why it's good for your kids. Like, it really engages their whole brain. It's a lot better than screen time. And so it's important to me. So one thing, like if you are listening to this and you're like, oh my gosh, we don't read at home. We don't read to our kids. They're older. They're like 7, 8, 9. And we used to read to them, but now we don't. Well, what would it look like for you to read out loud to your children? And like if I told you to read 10 minutes every single day, what number would that be at? Maybe that's like a 7. So what if I said, read to them one story during bath time? Or I don't know if 8-year-olds take a bath time where you're not looking at them, but spending time with them. Maybe it's read in the car when you get to soccer practice a little bit early. Maybe that's what it is. That's what I do. Whenever I get places way too early because I have ADHD and I can't manage my time, so I'd rather get there early than late, we read books at that time. The next one would be scheduling your week. So I have a template schedule, which is kind of a good basic thing, right? But I do transfer my template schedule onto my actual written planner. And I have been doing that for quite some time. But I fell off the bandwagon, like things have been a little hectic, and I don't totally need it, right? Like I have my template schedule in my head pretty much, and we do the same things repeatedly every other week, whatever. So it's not a lot for me to know what I'm gonna do. But as I mentioned last week, like dinner stopped being scheduled, things sort of were falling apart. So writing my whole schedule into my planner was like a 10. Like I could not handle that 2 weeks ago, but I was like, I could probably write out a list of the meals we're going to eat or could eat. And so I did that 2 weeks ago. And then last week, cause that worked out pretty good. Last week I was like, oh, I'll do the meals again. And then I felt, I was like, I have some time while I'm doing this. Maybe I will write in the rest of my schedule. So I did. And it felt so good. And it was that example, right? Of like, you do the small step just to initiate and you give yourself an out. You don't have to do the whole 7-point scale step. You can do the three on the 10-point scale. You don't have to do the seven. And so then once I did it, and I did it a second week, that was like my gateway. And now I'm not back to how I used to do it, but I'm doing it a little bit more than I was 3 weeks ago. And there you go. That's grit. That's getting back into it, even though it's gotten harder. And the more you do that, the more you return and return and return to habits, you will build your identity as someone who comes back and who is consistently inconsistent, or inconsistently consistent. No, you want to be consistently inconsistent, inconsistently consistent, inconsistent. I don't know. You just want to show up and you want to do the damn thing. So that's my message for you guys today. If you haven't already, then please go on over to wherever you listen and follow so that you get my podcasts when they come out. I know I'm guilty of this. I'm listening to a new podcast. I haven't even followed them yet or written a review or anything. If you've been here for like two or three episodes or more than that, then please, please, please give a review. It really helps other people to find me. And more importantly to me, it helps me to know who's listening and what you're thinking and what you like and maybe what you don't like. So go ahead and leave that review, and I will see you guys next week, and I hope you have a fantastic week. Bye.